Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Let me tell you what we don't need in 2021. We don't need Jawan Kavori Crittenden, a male black who in the last week of 2020 was arrested for the crime of murder. Police say Jawan came upon Penny Phillips, a white woman and city employee in Florence, South Carolina, and for reasons unknown, plunged a knife into her body again and again and again until she was dead in a pool of her own blood. The Jew-owned national news media have kept this murder a secret, and even their local media are memory-holing it, according to one correspondent who says they refuse to publish photographs of killer and victim in the same story. Officials have repeated the phrase, random assault, again and again in connection with the case, implying that race could not have played a factor. Well, let me tell you, we don't have a random assault problem. We don't have a gun problem. We don't have a culture of violence problem. We have a race problem. We have a dysgenic African problem. We have a third world savages problem. We're not allowed to discuss the savages as savages. We're not allowed to admit that there are biological differences between the races that make them behave differently, even in the same environment, that make some of them very volatile and violent, no matter what subculture they belong to or adopt. We're not allowed to say that we'd be better off in a white society with white standards of behavior, ethics, and justice. We're not supposed to even start thinking that we could not only do just as well, but infinitely better in every way without the violence and stupidity and crime and parasitism of the third worlders that is hung around our necks. We're not supposed to say that not only are the non-white savages a direct threat to us and our children, but that even the non-whites who aren't savages are a biological threat, who are supplanting us, replacing us, and killing us through racial mixing in the lands our forefathers fought and died for. We're not supposed to say that these people do not share our standards, our ethics, or our love of freedom, and that we will surely lose our freedom and make our civilization into a third world hellhole if we give up and let them keep the land that ought to belong to our sons and daughters. Not only are we not allowed to say such things, but we damned sure are not supposed to do anything about them. But I must add that the blacks are not at the root of the black problem. Primitive third world peoples generally are not themselves at the root of the disintegration of America. If they were restricted to their own territories, where they could live as they see fit, and where their leadership elements could handle their social problems in a way appropriate to their nature, or not handle them, for that matter, they would not be a problem for us. Sudan, Mexico, and the Philippines will never constitute a technological or economic or military threat to the first world, the white world. The problem is the mindset and the laws and the pressure that make us import and support and mix with these people to the point that it literally is killing us as a society and a race, just as it killed Penny Phillips as an individual. The real threat, the real root of the black problem and the immigration problem and the severe problem of the needless, tragic deaths of people like Penny Phillips and the thousands of white men, women, boys, and girls like her is the highly organized and well-funded establishment which has made multiracialism into a new religion, into a false morality and an all-too-real legal system which forces us to accept the Jawans of this world into our neighborhoods, into our places of work, and into the schools where we send our innocent children. And this multiracialist establishment, in media, in government, in the academy, is largely a Jewish establishment. Let me give you an example. In the United States, the Jewish organization calling itself the Anti-Defamation League, or ADL for short, is in the forefront of the quasi-legal and propaganda campaigns to convince white people that it is good and virtuous to mix the races, both in society and in the marriage bed. The ADL, which has links to Jewish organized crime, has engaged in corruption of police departments, even stealing police files to get intelligence on Americans who don't approve of the ADL's multiracialist agenda. The ADL pushes for laws and even writes so-called model statutes that are then passed by craven legislatures plied by Jewish money and cowed by Jewish media, which would criminalize whites speaking out on behalf of our race. The ADL even pushes its filth on school children and gets our tax money to pay for it. But does the ADL sincerely believe in multiracialism and intermarriage as a philosophy for everyone? Hell no, they don't. They believe in multiracialism and intermarriage only for non-Jews, for you and me and Penny Phillips, for themselves, for Jews. They preach an entirely different philosophy, an opposite philosophy, in fact. A philosophy of preserving their identity as a people. A philosophy of nationalism and of maintaining the blood of their nation pure. A philosophy that, except for some exceptions, often highly visible ones of great propaganda value, almost always opposes intermarriage and works against it. A philosophy that seeks to inculcate a fierce loyalty to nation and race in its children, a loyalty that will last a lifetime. More than a decade ago, in an interview with the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, then ADL National Director Abraham Foxman warned against intermarriage between Jews and non-Jews and told us of the need to, in his words, stop our bleeding now. The ADL also said that Jews need special Jewish schools and decried the fact that only 29% of Jewish children in the United States attend private Jewish schools and yeshivas. That's really something coming from a group that was instrumental in denying whites the right to have our own schools. According to the ADL, $70 million should be quote-unquote invested each year in Jewish education in the United States, in expanding the infrastructure and in tuition subsidies. Presumably, the U.S. taxpayer would foot the bill, like he does for Israel and almost all things Jewish. And the ADL recommended that millions more should be spent to bring young Jews from America to Israel to be indoctrinated in Jewish nationalism and ethnocentrism. Foxman's and the ADL's racialist attitudes about Jews mixing with non-Jews in bed and in school may seem strange to new listeners. After all, isn't it the ADL that provides mandatory diversity training for preschool teachers all across America? Yes, it is. The ADL has a program, quote, targeting children ages 3 to 5, close quote, their words. It's called the Miller Early Childhood Initiative. The program, proudly described by them as the first of its kind, subjects toddlers to political indoctrination specifically designed to eliminate all feelings of racial kinship and loyalty, and to, in the minds of the children, equate such feelings with hatred and bigotry. Around the same time that Foxman was pushing exclusive race-based schooling and racial nationalism for Jews, Linda Santora, director of the ADL's Early Childhood Education Programs, proudly announced that the ADL lessons promoting racial mixing among non-Jews will be, quote, incorporated into the children's normal classroom activities, close quote. She adds, quote, there's a song children can sing that encourages them to stand up for other children when they see them being excluded, close quote. The ADL operatives utilize activity guides featuring Sesame Street characters so as to make it more palatable. Quote, tolerance, forgiveness, and acceptance are at the very depth of making change in the world, close quote, said Jewess Marlene Cantor, an ADL board member. Of course, The ADL's Miller Early Childhood Initiative program is strictly for Gentile consumption. The ADL and the leaders and higher-level functionaries of the Jewish establishment know that multiracialism is a poison that leads to societal death. They go to great lengths to avoid multiracialism and mixing for their own people. But for other peoples, they promote, nay, even insist upon, the very same poison. We, they say, must never exclude the Jawans of this world from our neighborhoods, from our businesses, from our schools. To do so, they say, is the ultimate sin. But exclude them is exactly what we must do. Even more important, we must exclude the Abraham Foxmans, the Jonathan Greenblatts, and the George Soroses of this world from any position of power over us. It's too late to save Penny Phillips, but we can honor her life. There are millions like her in just as much danger. Penny's sisters and brothers in spirit and blood, who need to be protected, who need us to love them and care about their future and end the madness that has gripped us. So let this be your quest in the new year. Let this be the purpose of your life, the love of your people, your nation, and the future of white children. The Jawans and those who weaponize them are what we don't need in the new year. But what do we need? Let me quote the words of our National Alliance Chairman, William White Williams, who said this in a recent comment and quoted our founder, William Pierce, on that very topic. Quote, "Thanks for that good wish for the National Alliance. It has been a difficult year for our people. Though Dr. Pierce is physically gone, his alliance is still here and slowly growing, though not nearly as fast as it should. Instead of just wishing the NA your best for 2021, join with us. Spread those words by Pierce that inspired you to others who will be given hope. I found an important speech by Dr. Pierce, The Big Picture, on YouTube in 2013, more than a year before becoming chairman, and tried to spread it around. But the damned Jews shut it down. You can see it at White Biocentrism and on the Alliance's BitChute channel, though. Now, 6 years later, to hell with Jew-owned YouTube. Our supporters need to be spreading Dr. Pierce's The Big Picture and more than 100 of his other talks on that BitChute video channel. You can find it at natall.com/BitChute. That's natall.com/BitChute. natall.com/BitChute. Take Dr. Pierce's words to heart and act on them, rather than simply wish that his organization has a good year. It's easy to spread our links. Every person reading these words has a computer or some sort of device that can do this easily. As Dr. Pierce said, many people will not want to be educated. They will be afraid to listen to anything which is not politically correct. They will hate us when we try to educate them. They will go back to their MTV. But For every fool filled with hate and fear who will not listen, we will find a person who already has an understanding of the things I have said today, and who only needs to hear us say them in order to gain enough confidence to know that his understanding is correct. And we will find other people who have not yet achieved understanding, but whose hearts and minds are open, and who can accept the truth when it is presented to them. And so that is our immediate task, yours as well as mine. We must reach out to our people. We must alert them. We must educate them. We must encourage them. We must inspire them. And here's a beautiful, wonderful thing. When you reach out to other people to encourage them and inspire them, you yourself will be encouraged and inspired. When you find out how many other people there are who share our concerns, our feelings, our values, our sense of responsibility, you cannot help but be encouraged. Even the hatred that you encounter from some people, especially from people in the controlled media, will be encouraging. For you will understand that they would not hate us so much if they did not fear us. And the reason that they fear us is that deep inside them, they know that what we say is true. So let's get out there, all of us, and start looking for encouragement. Close quote. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what we do need in this new year.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine, a place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us, are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker, nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, antisocial doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into our Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces, they just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people, and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.